as I continue to, you know, to share with you a little bit about what God has laid on my heart with, you know, the songs that he's given to me and the stories he's given to me, I want to go into the Word a little bit before I continue. And, you know, it's kind of a lengthy passage, so you'll have to bear with me, and I'll try to remember it as best as I can. I might paraphrase a little bit, but, you know, I want to try and remember the words that God has instilled in my heart. And so it's actually from, it's from the New Testament, and it's my favorite passage, and it's something that I need to take to heart on a daily basis. And as I said, it's kind of lengthy, so bear with me. Be joyful always. That's the verse. The scripture says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And that's something that I have read over and over and over. And, you know, it's something that, you know, it's not a command that God is giving to us, but it kind of is, you know, in a way. But, you know, like I see him saying, be joyful always. And me in my own, you know, my own human nature, it's not easy to be joyful always. Because when things are good in life, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to acknowledge that he is good. It's easy to say, yeah, God, you're awesome, and to praise him and to worship him through song, and to, you know, to praise his name, and to, you know, to read his words out loud and be happy and joyful in the Lord. But when things are bad in life, it is not easy. It is not easy to praise the Lord. And that's why when I read those words over and over, you know, like, be joyful always. It's hard, God. You know, when things go wrong in life, I'd love to say that my first reaction is, hey, let's praise the Lord now. But in my human nature, it doesn't really happen that way. And, you know, when things start going wrong in life, there's usually a little bit more complaining and whining and sobbing and crying and snotting all over the place. It's bad. You don't want to see it. But usually when things start going wrong in life, in my human nature, in my first reaction, I'd love to say that it's let's praise the Lord now. But there's a whole lot less of praising the Lord and a whole lot more just freaking out. And so it happens. It happens in life. When things start going wrong, my first reaction is oftentimes just to start freaking out. And so when I write songs, a lot of the times they're really just reminders for myself of the things that I've gone through, the things that God's trying to teach me, the things that I've experienced. And so this next song that I want to share with you is really just another experience that I've gone through, and something that God's been trying to teach me over the years, you know, to be joyful always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. But the one thing that I need to constantly remind myself of, because I'm very, very forgetful, I don't have a very strong memory, and so one of the things that I need to remind myself of is to never let go of God, because he will never let go of me. Never. He will never let go of me. And so this is something that really is just a reminder for myself and for anybody else who feels that they need to remind themselves to not let go of God, because he'll never, ever let go of us. And this is the title track off of my new CD that I have called I Won't Let Go. And so it's really just that reminder for myself that no matter what's going on in life, whether things are good or whether things are bad, I need to remember to not let go.
There are times in life I feel I walk alone. And there are times when I am high, yet still so low. When all these pressures like a hurricane blow me down, and even still I can't forget who leads me on. I won't let go. I won't let go. And there are times when life is good and all is well. There are times I wonder why I'm here at all. When all these sorrows like a waterfall cover me, And even still I find the strength to carry on. I won't let go.
It's all these reminders that that God gives me along the way of how I should just never let go of him, because he'll never let go of me. And I remember this one time I was in my room, my music room, and I was kind of sitting and playing my guitar. Sam was actually in Alberta visiting her family, so she took the kids and they went out to Alberta for a few days. And so I was sitting in my music room, kind of, you know, just sitting by myself and trying to spend some time with God. And and just sitting and playing my guitar and praying and just spending that time with the Lord. And it was actually kind of funny because I don't often get time just to be by myself. So Sam being away with the kids, it was really bizarre for me because I don't really get time to do, you know, things by myself. Being, you know, a husband and a father of two little kids, I don't get a whole lot of spare time. And so one thing that I used to really enjoy doing was playing video games. And so I was like, you know, thinking to myself, I'm like, hey, what am I going to do now? And so I'm looking around, there's no kids running around, there's no wife that needs my help with something. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, hey, I can actually play video games now. So I actually went and I set up my machine and I grabbed my controller and I went to go and sit down on the couch. And as this is exactly the way that it happened, I grabbed my controller, I sat down, and then I stood right back up and I put it down and I walked away. And so what happened in the exchange that was going on in my mind is as soon as I grabbed my controller and as soon as I got the thing ready, I turned on the TV and everything was ready for me to go. As soon as I sat down, I could hear God in my head saying, spend time with me! And so I'm like, just, okay. And then I just walked away. And so it's like, because I have all these things, and you know, you probably will agree with me that life gets busy sometimes. And so, you know, you don't always have the mindset to spend time with God. And so I had gotten so busy into my life being a husband, being a father, trying to provide for my family, everything. I was just so busy, and I finally had this downtime, and I go and I start to play video games. God's like, come on, man, I'm here. And so I actually got right up, I put my controller down, and I went into my music room. And as I'm sitting there and playing, you know, thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm spending time with you, Lord. I'm just kind of talking and, you know, just spending some time just playing my guitar and just spending time in the presence of God. And I was really enjoying that time. And then all of a sudden, as I'm spending time with the Lord, I get this text message from Sam. I pick up my phone and I look at it. And it's just a few simple words. She says, I'm thinking of you. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I put my phone down and I kept on playing. And I was thinking about that for a little bit. I'm like, okay, you know what? That was really nice. It was really nice that she would take the time to let me know that she's thinking of me. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, that was really nice, a nice gesture that she would, you know, she would do that. And so I was continuing to think of it. God, as I was spending time with him, led me to open up the Bible. And I opened up to the book of Matthew, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking to the people, and he says, look at the birds. You know, they don't plant seeds, and they don't reap a harvest, but they always have something to eat. and look at the flowers and the grass in the field and how beautiful these things are. You know, and this grass and these flowers that are there one day and then dead and gone and thrown into the fire the next, God cares about every single one of these things. He cares about every bird. He cares about every flower. He cares about every blade of grass. How much more does he care about us? About his children? How much more does he care about us? And so I'm sitting there reading this, and I was just blown away that God would lead me to this particular scripture. Because, you know, it was really nice that Sam would take the time to let me know that she's thinking of me. But how much more amazing is it that the God that created the heavens and the earth, and of the 7 billion people that are on this planet right now, God took the time to send me his text message to let me know I'm thinking of you. And so I thought that this was just the coolest thing. And so this is really just something that came out of that time when I was sitting in my room in awe and wonder of a God that would take the time to let me know that he's thinking of me.
Difficult to fathom in its entirety, beyond my comprehension. You've got your eye on me. What have I done to know you love me? In my mind it's a complication. Oh, I see every blessing my wife and my family, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, all these gifts you've given, not deserving any of these. Can it be that you're thinking of me? Or is this just my imagination? What have I done to know you love me? In my mind it's a
So it's all these reminders that God's giving me along the way, you know, of how I should never let go of him because he'll never let go of me. And you know, how he's always looking out for me no matter what I'm going through, whether things are good or whether things are bad, he's always there for us. You know, it's all these reminders that he tries to give me. And as I said before, I need to continually remind myself of these things because I can be very forgetful. And so I kind of need to remind myself of these because I remember there's one instance in particular that I can remember where I completely lost sight of these things. You know, the fact that he's always there for me. I remember I was driving home from a tour that Sam and I had done in Alberta, and we were driving home. And it's quite a long story, but I don't want to go too far over my time limit, so I'll kind of cut it down a little bit. But I want to share it because it's a part of where God has led me through, and it's part of my testimony. And so we were driving home from a tour that we had done in Alberta, and we were really worried because we didn't have anything left. And so we were looking at the facts, you know, the fact that we needed to be home from this tour. It was a Saturday night, and the next morning I needed to be at a worship service in Selkirk, which is about an hour and a half away from us. And so we were getting really concerned because we knew that we didn't have anything left, and so we had just put the last bit of money that we had into the tank to try to get home. And so we were getting really concerned because, you know, we didn't have anything, you know, so we were getting really worried. And of course, the only thing that we could think to do wasn't to praise the Lord in that time. It was to start freaking out. And so we started crying out to God and said, God, what do we do? You know, we're driving here. We're trying to get home. We're running out of gas. We're out of money. It's getting dark out. If we don't do something soon, we're going to be stranded here in Saskatchewan. Not that that's a bad thing. We just needed to get home, and so we were just crying out to God, and God in his wisdom just says these words that mean so much to us. He says, be still and know that I am God. And in that moment, he tells us to be still. We pulled over to the side of the road, and we took a breath, and we said, okay, God, what do we do? He says, look in your trunk. So we pull over, and we look inside the trunk, and sure enough, inside the trunk, there's $15 sitting in the trunk. We're like, hey, right on. And so he says, look in your back seat. So we look in the back seat, and there's more loonies and toonies sitting in the back seat. He says, look under your seat. So we look under the seat. There's some quarters sitting under the seat. And he says, look in your change tray. So we push back the pennies, and, you know, sure enough, underneath all the pennies, there's some more change sitting in the change tray. And so we scooped that all up, and we went into the gas station. We were able to put enough in the car to get home. And so the next morning, of course, I needed to be in Selkirk. It's an hour and a half away. So same situation, you know, no gas, no money, started freaking out. And so we started running around the house looking for anything that we could find. We shook the piggy banks. We looked under the couch. We looked in the cushions. Anywhere that we could find a penny, we found it. And we scooped it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I kissed Sam goodbye, and off down the road I went. And I pulled into the co-op in Headingley, and I get out, and I look at the attendant. He comes out, and he says, what can I get you? And so I kind of sheepishly go into my pocket and start fumbling around with my change and say, can I get $7 a regular? He's like, you want $7 of regular? And I said, yeah. He's like, all right. So he takes his nozzle and he rims his finger and I like that and flicks it into my tank and says, what else can I get you? So he put $7 in there, and I went inside and I put my change out on the counter, like everything, my pennies, my nickels, my quarters, everything that I could do to make my $7 worth of regular. I gave him that change, and I took the change that was left over and I put it in my pocket, and I got in my car and off down the road I went. And by this time I was getting really frustrated because, you know, just everything that was happening in my life at that time, like it was all kind of coming crashing down on me that weekend, and you know, just being out of gas and out of money the night before, and that morning being out of gas and out of money, and knowing full well that when I get to Selkirk, I'm going to be out of gas and out of money again. And so I was getting really frustrated, and, you know, I was getting frustrated because, you know, I remember that Sam and I were talking, you know, on the way home in great length about we were talking about this certain doctrine that people have. There's a certain group of preachers that have a specific doctrine that when you are in Christ, you have everything you want. And so we were talking about this, and I was getting really frustrated because at that moment, I did not feel very prosperous. And so I was getting really frustrated. And so, of course, the only thing that I could think to do at the time was start freaking out. And so I started crying out to God. I'm like, God, what are you doing with me? You know, I'm going out and I'm doing these worship services. I'm doing these concerts. I'm trying to be a blessing to people. You know, I go out and I have to scrounge pennies to put in the gas tank. Like, I see people in ministry that drive bigger cars than my house. Like, what are you doing to me, God? I don't get it. And just in the midst of feeling so frustrated and emotional and everything that was going on in my life, I remember looking up at God and saying, that's it, God, I'm done. I'm finished. I can't do this no more. And I gave up on God that morning. Gave up on everything that he had given to me, everything that he had promised, everything that was to come. I was ready to just throw it all away. And I remember that in the very moment that those words came out of my mouth, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this no more. The very moment that those words came out of my mouth, God in his grace and his love for me, he started to sing me a song. And it's a song that I had never heard before, so I knew it was just for me. And so I got to the church and I quickly wrote it down. I had half an hour before the service started and I quickly wrote it down. And after the worship was done, after the sermon was done, the pastor said, you know, do you want to do a closing song? And so I said, okay. And I went up and I grabbed my piece of paper and I told them the same story of everything that happened the night before and everything that happened that morning and everything that was going on in my life. And I remember, you know, just feeling so unworthy, you know, like, because I was sitting in my car and screaming at God and here's this gift that he'd given to me, a gift that I did not deserve. But he still gave me this song. And so it's a song that that came out of that time when I was just feeling so frustrated and emotional and everything that was going on in my life. And so this is a song that, that much like my gas tank and much like my wallet and much like my heart was feeling at the time, this is a song called Empty.
Your way, oh Lord,
my soul and fill up my everything. Oh Lord, give me your strength and send me your power, that I might worship you always. Your way, always. Your way, always. Your way.
I remember it was very difficult for me to sing that song that morning just because of everything that was going on in my life. And, you know, it wasn't just that weekend of running out of gas and running out of money. I knew that at home waiting for me after I'd finished that service, I knew I had a letter from the bank saying they were coming to take my house away. And so I was desperate. I was crying out to God, and I basically gave up because I didn't know what I was going to do next. And so I remember that after God gave me that song, and after I heard the pastor's message that morning, and I was able to, you know, to just soak into worship and you know, just read the words of that song that God gave to me. I remember I got to the part of the song that morning where I sing the words, "I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this no more," and I just begun to weep. And, you know, it's because of those words, "I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this no more." You know, those are the exact same words that I was sitting in my car and shaking my fist at God and accusing him of not taking good care of me. And those are the exact same words that he gave back to me to put into the song as a reminder that no matter what I'm going through, he is always there for me. And I remember what I did as I was telling them that story that morning of everything that had happened to me that weekend, I remember what I did is I reached into my pocket. And I pulled out the change that I had left over from the gas station, and I showed it to them. And I remember this so clearly. I opened up my hand, and I had 2 quarters and a dime. I showed it to them, and I said, "This is all I have. But if I could go back and do it all over again, I wouldn't change a single thing. Because I love my God with all of my heart. And how could I not serve him with everything that I am and everything that I have? How could I not give everything back to a God that loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins? For the things that I've done wrong, how could I not give everything back to a God that loves me so much?" You know, so I think of those words, "I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this no more." You know, the words that resonate every single time I sing them or talk about them. And it reminds me of God's reminder that he gave to me when he gave me those words, that no matter what I'm going through in my life, he is always there for me. So, you know, I think back to my favorite Bible verse, to be joyful always. And it's not always easy. In life, we have trials. We have troubles. And says that we're supposed to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. It says when we face trials. It doesn't say if. You know, when we accept Jesus into our hearts, it's not a bypass for all the troubles in life. You know, it says when we face trials of many kinds, because trials will come. But it's in the midst of these circumstances that we can have the joy of the Lord, because we, on our own, can't do a thing. When bad things come, we need God. And that was my problem, is that I was trying to do everything by myself. I was trying to provide for my family on my own. I was trying to do it all myself, and I didn't acknowledge the one that gives the gifts. I didn't acknowledge the one that carries us through every situation. You know, like when we're supposed to be joyful always, we can't do it on our own, but with God, we can do anything. And it's so amazing to think that with God, all things are possible. We can be joyful always. We can be joyful in the midst of our circumstances. And I want to sing this last song that I want to share with you. It's one that I absolutely love. And it's one that I love to sing in the midst of my trials, because it ties in so well with this theme. Because no matter what we're going through, whether things are good or whether things are bad, you know, he's always there for us. Always. You know, and in the midst of these trials, that, because everybody has got something that they're going through. You know, everybody's got some kind of problem. I heard somebody say once that if you don't have any problems in life, you're already dead. And it's true. Everybody's got something that they're going through, whether it be, you know, financial problems or health problems or school problems or work problems or family problems or friend problems or any kind of problems that can come our way, any kind of problems that the enemy can try and throw at us. We can gather together as a group of believers that know that there is a God that loves us no matter what and is there for us no matter what. And we can boldly proclaim when we sing this song together that in the midst of our trials and tribulations, whether things are good or whether things are bad, that it is well with our souls.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen.
Well, thank you, everybody, for having me this morning. I really appreciate it. I know that when I do a concert, I thank people for coming out, but you had to be here, so I appreciate you sitting through my my long stories and my terrible jokes. But I really do appreciate it. And when I say that that's the last song, it's not really my last song. I got one more. It's not like I feel I deserve an encore or anything. It's actually more out of necessity that I sing this song, because it's just a short chorus, only four lines, and that's it. And it's just one that I feel I need to sing at the end of every time I do a worship service or a concert or anything that I do. I have to sing this song, because I wouldn't be able to rightly leave this stage if I didn't give that credit where credit is due, because I know it doesn't belong to me. You know, like, I come up here and I tell my stories and I tell my jokes, and I make mention of the fact that there's a very conveniently located table in the foyer, which you may have seen when you came in, you may see when you go out, but it's there. I did want to mention, though, that on my table, I've got three CDs that I have, as well. I have a book, and the book was written by my mom. She and my dad together were on the board of directors for It's a New Day, the Christian program that was produced in the city for many years. And so this is just a story that my mom wrote of the, you know, different people that she's experienced, and different stories and ministry opportunities and different things about our family. And so she gave me a bunch of copies of this book to give to anybody who is willing and able to give a gift to my ministry of $25 or more. And so what I can do is I can give a tax receipt for any amount that you can give. I'm able to give tax receipts at the end of the year. So if it's something that God is laying on your heart to help me out in my ministry, please come and talk to me afterwards, as I can get you a tax receipt. If I just get your name and address, I can get you a tax receipt at the end of the year. I did want to mention that, but I also... You know, I'm still up here because I wouldn't be able to leave this stage if I didn't give that credit where credit is due, because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the giver of the gift, because I know for a fact that I wouldn't be able to play one chord, sing one note, or say one word if it weren't for Jesus in my life. You know, I'll be the first person to admit that I don't think I'm the best singer in the world. And I'll be the first person to tell you that I don't think I'm the best guitar player in the world. But this is what I do because I love the Lord with all of my heart. And it's my desire that everyone I come in contact with feels that same love. And so, you know, I wouldn't be able to leave the stage if I didn't give that credit where credit is due. So if you know this short chorus, I'd encourage you to sing it along with me as I close out my portion of the morning, just by thanking the giver of the gift. So if you know it, please sing it along. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.